Well, it is good to be back with you. We enjoyed being away for a week, but it's good to be back. And I'll join with James. If you are visiting with us, we're glad you're here. And I'd like for you to fill out a visitor's card. You should find one just in front of you. We'd appreciate you doing that, but we want you to feel welcome, and we want you to come back at any opportunity you have. I've got a couple of announcements that I want to make, several as a matter of fact, before I actually get into the lesson. So let me do that. I'll start with a couple that had to do with our trip. We of course, went down to Ocean City. But on Sunday, we went over to Severn this past Sunday, and I preached there where Percy and Shirley are. And they send greetings and want to say hello to everybody. They are doing well, and as many of you know already, but they are doing really well and enjoying it down there, but they do miss everybody here. So let me let you know that. On a sadder note, a more serious note, we got over Wednesday evening to the church at Camden, and that's where Bill Eccles, a lot of you know him, of course, who preached here before I did. Bill has been ill and is really, you know, a little weaker and not doing as well. So you may want to remember him in your prayers. He wasn't able to get out on Wednesday night. We met with the church there, of course, but he wasn't able to be there. And as I understand it, he's only able to get out on Sundays, not doing, not as strong as he has been. So if you're not aware of that, you may want to keep him in your prayers. And I'm sure they would appreciate that. A couple of other things. Several of you may know that my dad had an episode this past week, and I'm not going to really go deeply into that. Bottom line, and I know a number of you were concerned and calling me and so forth, but bottom line to that is apparently he swallowed a capsule that got lodged in his throat. He's had some lung problems, but Dad's doing great, and he's pretty strong, and he's home from the hospital, and everything's fine. So just wanted to make sure you know that. And this is an announcement I really don't want to make, but I got to. Today is Hannah Bell's last Sunday with us. So make sure you get up to her and wish her well. Hannah's going to be going for military training. She'll be gone for a month, and then she may be back here. Are you coming back here for a day or so? Whatever. Don't know. But anyway, she's going for military training for a month, and then she's headed to Thailand, as we know, in July, and that'll be for her 6 months of internship, and then we don't know where she's going from there. But going to miss Hannah. Hannah's been in our home quite a bit, and we've loved having her around, and I may even shed a tear or two that she's going away, but make sure you get up to her and let her and wish her well. Also, keep Hannah's family in your prayers. Hannah's two grandmothers, neither were doing that well. One of them did pass away this past week, and the other one is, elderly and not doing as well either. So please keep them in your prayers. One final announcement, and then I will get into the lesson, and that is tonight we will go back to our series where we're talking about people that appear to be in a hopeless situation, and what God does with them. And tonight we're going to talk about Ruth. That'll be the longest passage. The book of Ruth is four chapters. Longest passage that I'll look at. But I'm also doing discussion and taking questions and so forth. So if you can be here tonight and you've got a question about that book, please feel free to come and join in with that. And we would love to have you do that. Without any further delay, let's get into the lesson. I'm going to spend a couple of weeks talking about the idea, maybe continuing to talk about, the other side of the idea of parents and children. And we'll look at the idea of a godly child in my home. And so from the perspective that we've been looking at, fulfilling our purpose, the idea of being either a parent or a child, and of course if you are a child, you are very much a potential parent. So these lessons are very interrelated. But I want us to talk about that. And as we've emphasized from the beginning, and I hope that you feel this way, look at it like this. As we emphasized in the last lesson a couple of weeks ago, children are a heritage, something given, entrusted to us. by God as parents. They are a gift. As Jacob said to his brother, the Lord graciously gives children to parents. And I believe if we hold that in our hearts and look at children as a treasure, and those of you that are children, and especially younger children in the audience, if you look at your home and you look at your parents as a treasure, as something that is to be appreciated, as a base for your life, and that's the way a home should be, then it truly is a treasure. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now I'm going to look, and I won't look at everything this morning, but I'm going to introduce it. I believe that godly children, and when I say godly children, I mean children that are following God's ways. If you are doing things as God would have you to do them as a child, you have the natural responsibility, but you also have a very basic responsibility that's given by God to do a couple of things. And let me list those. These will be the things I'll emphasize, as I said, over a couple of lessons. One of the most basic and natural responsibilities you have is to obey and respect your parents. The passage that was just read in Ephesians 6 is a command. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. And it is the idea of obedience to someone who is in authority. The home is to become a training ground. All through our lives, we will have to obey authority. There will be government, for example. And they will make laws, and they will enact laws, some of which we may not like. Years ago, and a lot of you that are younger can't even relate to this, but you older ones can. Years ago, you could jump in a car, and if you're old enough in here, there would not have even been seat belts in the car. And then the car would have been manufactured, and the seat belt was optional. And then the seat belt was in all of the cars, but you didn't have to wear it. Now, some of you that are younger are like, what? Yeah, that's right. You didn't have to wear it. I hated wearing seatbelts. I just hated it. I mean, my body type and everything else, especially as I got older and started putting on a little weight, the belt wanted to slide up and strangle me. I hated it. And when it became one of those things where the government really suggested you wear the seatbelt, I was like, no, I don't want to wear a seatbelt. And then it became law. And law means that now you don't have a choice. It is the law. I was noticing and thinking and kind of smiling to myself all the way back home as we were driving last night. And all along the highway, it was click it or ticket, right? And I was thinking, yeah, I mean, naturally now I get in the car, put the seatbelt on. Because I went through that time where I got... You know, I hate it, but I've got to do it, and now it's a natural thing. I won't say I like it still, you know, but it's the law. What do I mean in all of that? You learn to obey authority in the home. You don't always like it. Parent says, stay in the yard, stay in the backyard, don't leave this yard. You don't understand why. You see something over two houses down or whatever, and it doesn't look like there's any harm whatsoever in going down there. But that's the authority. That's what they've told you to do. It's a natural responsibility. It's a basic responsibility. And ultimately, the reason for it is because you are learning to obey and respect God's authority. Your parents are not God. But they are in a position given by God to teach you, to train you to respect authority. If you learn that at a young age, and you learn there are consequences if you don't, then it will be far more natural, and it will be easier for you to obey the law when government, for example, says, wear a seatbelt or suffer the consequences. You will know how to obey authority. You will learn how to do that, and ultimately even you will learn when God says to do something and you don't like it. And there are commands that God gives that really are not pleasant. Not everything that God tells us to do is what would be our first and natural even response and we say, yay, yippee, I like doing that. But God says it. And God is in authority. And I learned that as a child. Now another basic point we'll cover is this. I have a basic and natural responsibility as a child to grow. And notice that I'm using two different terms here because they are different. To grow in knowledge, to learn things. And children are like sponges. I mean, they learn things and they learn at an accelerated rate. It is said that we learn more in the first 6 years of our life than we do the rest of our lifetime combined. I believe that. And children soak it up. And things we learn as a young child, the knowledge we gain, will many times stay with us. I bet you if I started saying A, B, C, D, E, F, everybody in here could join in with that. We learn it, we know it, it stays with us. It doesn't leave us. If I don't sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star for 25 years, I bet on my deathbed I could lay there and somebody could start singing it and I wouldn't be able to stop. We gain knowledge. But I want you to notice there's another term here. Wisdom. And wisdom is not as easy to soak up, but it is something we have to gain. And it's the ability to use the knowledge together with the freedoms and the choices, everything like that in life, and to make the best choices, to apply the knowledge we gain, to use the freedoms we have, to make the correct choices. Being wise is something that takes time. No matter how intelligent you are as a child, you can have a genius IQ, you will not be wise. You cannot be. It takes time. You will gain wisdom over the course of time. And that will come from a number of areas. Sometimes, sadly, for too many people, it has to come with making all the wrong decisions, all the bad choices, and quote-unquote learning from the mistakes. Now, we all have to do that. But if you have godly parents, and they teach you principles, and you respect and obey their authority, you will gain wisdom over the course of time. And a lot of that will be life lessons you'll learn, and you'll learn them from your parents. Ultimately, you will grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. Ultimately, you will gain the knowledge that comes from the Word of God, but you will also gain the wisdom of how to make good choices. Apply what God says. Learn from His principles that He teaches. Just like your parents teaching you things. Do this, don't do that. And there's a why behind that. Why do you not want me to go two houses down? You may not know that that person two doors down doesn't allow you in the yard. And they scream and yell at you. Your parents do know that. Or you may not know that it is dangerous for you to be out of the eyesight of your parents. But they do know that. And that's a matter of trust. Do you trust your parents? And if you trust your parents and they've shown you that you should trust them, and you can trust them, you will listen to them. And the truth is, if you trust God, you'll listen to Him. He knows what's best. He will tell you what is best. Sometimes He will say, do this because. And sometimes He will say, do this, and He won't tell you why. And that may be because you can't understand. It may be because He has chosen not to. But for whatever reason, you trust Him. And if God says it, then it is so. And I believe it. I made a statement a few weeks back to a group of preachers. And it was just a point from the Word of God someone asked me about. And my response was, I have what may be considered by many to be a childlike faith about it. But what that means is, God is my Father. And I am His child. He's given me reason to trust Him. I trust Him. I don't know the answers. I don't know the why, but I trust my Father. And you learn that from a young age in a godly home. Now, thirdly, And this is the most difficult one. One we'll not talk about this morning very much, but I will talk about it. And that is that there is a natural and basic responsibility to transition. That's my word for it. To transition from childhood, which in many respects bespeaks of immaturity. You cannot be mature as a little child. You are immature. But you've got to transition from that to adulthood, which again should mean maturity. And you'll notice I say it should mean that. You've got to go through that transition. You've got to grow up. You've got to go from being a child to being an adult. And that can be very difficult on both parties' part. We'll talk about that. But you go from being a child, being immature, you transition to being an adult, to being mature. And ultimately, there is a spiritual application as well. Because one day, hopefully, you will be born again. You will become a Christian, and you will be just as immature in the faith as a Christian as you were the day you were physically born. And you will have to mature. You will have to grow up. You will have to be an adult child of God. And you learn how to do that in the physical way that as a little child, you grow up and you transition. And parents help you to do that. Now, let's begin to look at some of these points a little bit deeper. I want to start by saying this, and I believe this very strongly. I believe it about myself. I believe it about my daughter. I believe it about all children. All children are uniquely blessed. And when I say uniquely, there's only one of them. There's only one Michael White in the whole world. There's only one of you. We're all uniquely blessed, and children are uniquely blessed with strengths, with intellect, with abilities, with talents. And they had that at an incredibly young age. I was thinking as I wrote this, for example, I don't know if Jeremy and Nadine are here this morning, but it was just a few weeks back, and one of them was holding Heaven, and she was back there, and she was making all of these expressions and doing all of these things. She's just a little child, a child. And that's unique to her. When you look at these children in this place, just this room, you look around this room and you see these kids that are here. They have strengths, all of them. They have intellect. They're smart. Sometimes they are incredibly smart. Sometimes they're a lot smarter than I am. They have abilities. They have talents. And when a parent recognizes that from the beginning, looks at this child not as some little idiot, but as a God-given individual blessed by God with all of that. Then you realize, my job is not to take this little idiot and program it as a robot. It is to nurture all of that. To help all of that. To raise, to train up the child. But recognizing all along that with the proper nurturing, the proper admonition, and we'll talk about that, their potential, and they have it. God meant for them to have it. God gave it to them, blessed them with it from the womb. Their potential can be fully realized so that they, those children, can fulfill their purpose in life. Now, that in itself is an awesome responsibility. And parents must realize their awesome responsibility of nurturing and raising and training and bringing all of that out and bringing that to fruition so that the child fulfills their responsibility. And children have to realize their awesome responsibility. That if you want to fulfill your purpose, if you want to be everything you can be, it's going to require you submitting and listening and following and honoring your parents. That's the cycle of life. That's what was meant by God to be the case. Now let's look at some passages of Scripture. Godly children, basic responsibility is to obey their parents. The passage was read for us in Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 1, children, obey your parents. When you look down in verse 4, Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now that speaks to children as well. The fathers are doing that. The children respond to that. So obey your parents. Now when you break these terms down and you really begin to look at them, you realize that that just a foundational responsibility of parents is to discipline their children. But let's talk about discipline. Discipline, we use that word in the English language in two different ways. One, we use it in the sense of training or education. If you go to a school and you study a discipline, it means that you study a course. It means that you gain knowledge in a particular area. It means that you add education in your life with respect to that subject. There is the discipline of mathematics. There is the discipline of theology, for example. And you learn those things. Parents understand that a basic responsibility is to discipline their children. Not just to beat on your kids, but to train them, to teach them. The Bible, in numerous passages, in various passages throughout the Word of God, talks about parents schooling or teaching their children, explaining things, answering questions, all of that kind of thing. And there is the correction. There is the, child, do this, don't do that. Child doesn't do it, or does it, you know, as the case might be. Johnny, clean up your room. You walk out of the room, you give Johnny a responsibility of cleaning up his room. You don't stand over Johnny and say, put that toy right there. You might have done that. You might have shown him where things go. He now knows. So there is a command, clean up your room. You walk out. You expect Johnny to clean up his room. You give him the responsibility to do that. You've given him the training, the education. He has the ability. You expect it to be done. Johnny sits in a room and says, I don't want to clean up my room. I don't feel like it. Parent comes back in. Been a reasonable amount of time. Johnny, I told you to clean up the room. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Now there is an ultimatum. Johnny, clean up the room, or, and there will be the consequences. You might say, or you can stay in the room till tomorrow. You can't go out to play, you can't do this, you can't do that. Or you might say, Johnny, clean up the room, or there's going to be a belt. There's a consequence. And Johnny says, now I got a choice. I don't feel like cleaning up my room. I don't want to clean up my room, so I'm not going to clean up my room. Then you suffer the consequences. And the parent tells you the consequences, and they stick by it. And you learn a valuable lesson in life. If I don't obey, if I don't follow the training and the education I have, then I suffer. Now that's what parents do, and we all understand that. And children have to understand that. And the truth is, we realize that it is natural for children to say, I don't feel like it. Even God talks about the natural rebellion that is within a child to say no. He created us that way. He gave us that ability so we would have to choose. And the parent must train the child to respect the training, the education, or to receive the correction. Because that's life. And the idea in all of that is the parent is warning the child. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What is a parent doing? They're rebuking. They're telling the child when they're wrong. Now, if that's all you ever do, then the child is going to be miserable and the rebellion is going to really be fostered. But the idea of rebuking or warning the child, of teaching a child there are consequences to what you do, of telling, of calling attention to things. You know, when you tell a child, and I remember this as a young child, one of the things I hated was to be told not to cross the street. I just figured, you know, I know how to cross the street, man. And there was a time when I was 4 years old. I've told you this before, I think, but I'll tell you again. I wanted a Reese's cup. Now, you know, lifelong affair with Reese's, you know that. So I wanted a Reese's cup. Well, down the street, one block, and up two blocks. I'm showing Montel and Juliet this little country store, a little corner store, really. Down the street and up two blocks, there was little Mamie's Grocery. And I had seen my parents. We'd go there sometimes, and Mom or Dad might say, I want this, I want that, and just put it on the account. I thought that was pretty cool. You don't even have to dig in your pocket for money. Just put it on the account. I was sitting there one day. I had my little bicycle with my training wheels, my little red bicycle, and I'm thinking, boy, Reese's Cup would be good about now. I trucked right down the street. I went up two blocks. I went into Namie's. I went over and got my Reese's Cup. Mr. Namie must have thought this was hilarious. I walked up to the counter, and I said, put it on the account. Boy, I felt big. I rode my bicycle back home, and I got caught about three or four houses back. My mother was frantic. Where have you been? Reese's Cup. Trouble. Okay? I told you not to ever ride your bicycle down the sidewalk, cross the street. I got in trouble that day. Bad trouble. Now, from a child's point of view, man, all I wanted was a Reese's Cup, and nothing happened. But it could have. You get a little older, and you're sitting out on the porch, and some nut presses the accelerator and goes down your quiet little street at 70 miles an hour. And your mother says, you see that right there? That's why I told you, don't cross the street. And now you're a little older, and it dawns on you, man, what could have happened? That's all the idea of calling attention to things. And that's how you tell children and you teach children and you call attention to what the child perhaps cannot even understand, but you can. You know the consequences, so you teach that to them. Children can sometimes see this as nagging, as riding them or being on them or whatever terminology you have for it, but it's the idea of, man, they're always telling me what to do. They're always telling me not to do this, do that, don't do this, and just on me all the time. The reason they're doing that is because they love me. The reason they're doing that is because they don't want you crossing the street and that nut hitting you and now your life is gone. They're telling you that. They don't want you to suffer. They don't want you to hurt. They know you're going to. They know you will make bad decisions. You will make mistakes. You will not respect what they tell you to do. You will get on your little red bicycle and truck it down to Namie's. They know that. But they call attention to the consequences because you've got to know it. You've got to know what things lead to. You've got to know the dangers involved. You've got to know that it may seem harmless. Remember my two little nephews. Stay in the backyard, inside the fence. Guy pulled up in a van. Guy opened the van door, said, hey, kids, held out something. I can't remember if it was candy or a toy, what it was. They went out of the gate, and we just happened to see them walking up to that van door. That's why you tell them. That's why you say, you stay in this backyard, you stay inside this fence. I'm not going to go into the fact that there have been a couple of kidnappings. I'm not going to go into the fact that children can get taken and you never see them again. I'm not going into that. You can't understand all of that, but what you can understand is stay inside this fence. And if you don't, you're in trouble. And you learn that. And you get older, and you realize, you think back to that incident, and you think, oh dear God, what if my parent had not seen me through the window? I could be gone. My life could be over. That's why parents have to teach the dangers involved. And that's why you children have to listen. Let's go to one more point, and then I'm going to be done for this morning. Godly children honor their parents. And I'm going to do part of this point. I'm going to leave part of it. And this is where I'll pick up with the next lesson. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. This was a passage that was read, but I want to read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then you'll notice verses 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Years ago I was out at, back in the forest where some of my ancestors come from. There's a little log cabin church building. I love to go to that place in Alabama. It's very peaceful, very quiet. And a lot of my ancestors from the early 1800s on are buried out there. And it's just a place I enjoy going. But I have some ancestors that lived a long time. Like my grandmother's mother, who lived to be 103 and a half. And a number of them lived to be over 100 years. I had my little nephew, and he spent a lot of time with me when he was a little child. And so naturally I'd take him to church and I'd teach him passages like this. Well, in Sunday school, they had studied Ephesians 6. You know, honor your father and mother that your days may be long on the earth. And we were out there and we were looking at some of the graves and I was pointing out, this is your great, great, great grandmother, you know, that type of thing. And we got to my great grandmother, who is his mother's great-grandmother, and his great-great-grandmother. And he was fascinated with that. You knew her? Yeah, I knew her. He's about 8 years old. Yeah, I knew her. Your mother knew her very well. And he's just looking at that. He's like, wow. And he's counting up the years himself with the dates, and he's saying, that's over 100 years. And I said, yeah. He thought about it, and he said, man, she must have really honored her parents. And I suspect she did, you know, that her days were long on the earth. But honor your parents. To honor, this word here, means to place value on. It actually was a word that was used many times for a prize or something you were trying to win, something you wanted in life, maybe something you went treasure hunting for, that kind of thing. It's to revere someone or something for its value. Now think about what that's saying here. You honor your father and mother. That's different from obey. To obey can start at an extremely young age. I mean, you may not even really be able to talk yet, and you learn no means no. You learn the sound of the voice. And maybe there's that little, and you look at it, you look at the parents, you're like, what's going on here? You understand obey. I tell you, and you do what I say. Now, that's how it starts. But it doesn't go like that all your life, and you know that. No, it grows from that to the point of honoring. Where you begin to learn, just like my little nephews who ventured outside the fence because somebody held up a piece of candy or something shiny or whatever, they learned a valuable lesson that day. Mom and Dad know what they're talking about. Mom and Dad say, stay inside the fence. Stay inside the fence. You learn to honor them. You learn to value them. You learn that they know things. They've lived. You know, you don't get gray hairs on your head without spending some time on this earth. And you don't go through that time on earth without learning some lessons. And when you pass that on to your children and you do that in a godly manner, and none of us are perfect in doing that. But when you do the best you can, and the children see that, the honor, the value in what you have to say grows. And children begin to place value on you. And if things are right and as they should be, that value, that honor will only grow all your life. The idea here is that there is a benefit. And God is saying that to you. That life will go well. Notice how it says it in verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. You want things to go good for you in life? Then listen. You want things to be good for you? You don't want to suffer the consequences of maybe being picked up in a van or whatever it might be? Then listen. And even when it seems like they don't know what they're talking about, and there hasn't been a child that has lived that hasn't thought that. Many times they know what they're talking about. And they really can help you. that it may be well with you, that life will go well. How many kids have there been, do you suppose, in our country, in the world, in the history of the world, the parents have said, study. And the kid has said, I'd rather play. Study. You have to study. You have to get an education. You have to learn. How many parents have there been? How many children have there been? And how many children have there been that grew up gritting their teeth, maybe muttering under their breath, but they went ahead and did their homework, only to say later in life, man, I'm glad Mom and Dad made me study. I would not like to be doing that job or that job over there, and if they'd not stayed on me and made me do what I had to do, that's where I'd be. That life may go well with you, and that you might have a good, long life. You know, when you make good decisions, when you don't do certain things, when you don't abuse yourself and your body and all of those things your parents told you about, life is longer. Life goes better. And when you live, and I don't think this just means years. Don't misunderstand that. I think it means quality of life. A good, long life. Whatever length of time you have on this earth, it is going to be better, and you are going to enjoy it more. And that's the idea, if you listen to the lessons you've been taught. So if you're a child in this audience, and if over the next few days your mom or your dad says, do this, and you think, I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that. I don't feel like I should have to do that. I would rather do so and so. Stop and think for a minute, not for today and the next 5 minutes, what would be better for you. But listen to God and know your life will be better if you do what they say. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to pick up with this point. You know I'm only halfway through it. I'm going to pick up with this point in the next lesson. Children, obey your parents. Children, honor your parents. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, this has been a lesson about parenting and being a child. And yet, as I said, there is certainly a spiritual application that goes with that. Every one of us in here is a child of God. Every one of us in here was created by God. And God is the Father. And if you're here this morning and you look at that and you say, I know that I'm supposed to be a child of God. I'm supposed to be obeying and honoring Him. And today I want to start my life with Him as my Father. If you believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, confess that. And be willing to change your life, to repent of the things you need to change. Start today changing those things. Be forgiven of your sins. And how do you do that? Well, you're baptized. Because Jesus said to do that. Be baptized and wash away your sins, just like Ananias told Paul in Acts 22. And maybe you're here and you say, well, I've done all of that, and yet I've kind of been rebellious. I've not done what I need to do. Then change that. Come back to the Lord and obey Him today. Won't you please do that while Edward leads you?